Well, good morning. Welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God. My name is Pastor Mike, and I am honored that each and every one of you have chosen to join us for worship today. Most importantly, I want you to know that God is pleased that you are here. Maybe you're here because you wanted to be here. Maybe you're here because water main broke in Oski. We welcome you. We're glad that you guys are with us today. And God's word never fails. God's word is truth, and you will hear the truth of the gospel today. Today's our final sermon in our six-week series of Armor Bearer. And I hope the series has encouraged each and every one of you, and I hope it's empowered you in your walk with Jesus, that it's empowered you to put on the armor of God. In the last 5 weeks, here's the things we've talked about. We've put on the belt of truth. Do you remember? I said, don't let your pants fall, right? Put on the belt of truth. Breastplate of righteousness. The shoes of readiness given by the gospel of peace. And then over the last couple of weeks, we've taken up the shield of faith, we've put on the helmet of salvation, and today we look at the best offensive weapon that we could possibly have, the sword of the Spirit. Now this is a foam sword, so it can't do much damage, but it does hurt. Ask me how I know. The sword of the Spirit, which we should also know, is the Word of God. And I have titled the sermon today, Live Victoriously. Because there's victory when we put on the armor of God. And I hope we all have a Bible with us today. If you don't, I hope somebody next to you does that you can look on with. But I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And as you turn there and get prepared for it, I want to share this quote with you. This comes from General Dwight Eisenhower. This was before he became president. He's got a quote, and I didn't know he had a quote, but I found a quote, and it's a good quote, and it says this, "There are no victories at discount prices." There are no victories at discount prices. And I would like us to think about this quote today as we go through what I believe God has laid out in front of us and wants us to hear this morning. So with that, let's get to our scripture here this morning. Children, if I start at the right one here. Verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." It says whole, right? It doesn't say partial. It doesn't say a piece. It says take up the whole armor of God, "that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me, in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it as boldly as I ought to speak." Now, we know from history, and if you've watched any kind of movies, we know that a sword, when it's properly sharpened, it's a pretty fierce tool, right? Swords can cause a lot of damage. A sword can pierce through just about anything. Does anybody watch the, what is it now on the Discovery, where they, the swords, where they make swords, they sharpen them, and they, I knew somebody would know, Forged in Fire, where they make swords, and I've not actually watched it, but I've seen it advertised. But they make swords, they sharpen them, they test them, they see what the strength of them is. And so it's a very dangerous tool on the battlefield. The Romans, when they wielded their sword, They wielded it with such precision that they were, and potentially still are, considered the most powerful war machine in the ancient world. So Paul, when he wrote Ephesians, he's relaying everything from the Roman armor pieces to how this Christian needs to put on the spiritual armor pieces. And we've covered that over the last several weeks. But the Romans were so fierce with their sword and their armor that they became the most powerful war machine in the ancient world. Now, I would like to say that we as Christians, if we put on the full armor of God, we become the most feared war machine in the spiritual battle, in the spiritual realm. And this is why Paul says the word of God is our sword. Again, we don't carry a literal sword, right? What is the sword that we carry? It's spiritual. However, we do carry a Bible. We do carry a Bible, which is the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is our offensive weapon from God. Now, this isn't an ordinary sword. It's not made by man's hands. It's not created by man. Rather, it is the sword of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that here in a minute. We are to use the sword in the war against the powers of evil. We already know, we just read it, that it's for the powers and the principalities and everything that we're going to face. Ultimately, we use the sword against who? Satan, right? But the question is how are we to use God's word against Satan? Well, first we have to understand that connection between the sword and the word of God. And it's first important to understand the power of God's word, the power of the sword of the Spirit. And here's where we find that from, Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." That sounds like a pretty sharp sword, doesn't it? This little foam thing couldn't do that, but God's word can. It's through God's word that we distinguish between right and wrong. As a result, we can strive to live in a way that is free from sin. It is our goal as Christians that we are bought by the blood of Jesus, that we are living in His grace. But as we mature and grow in our relationship with Him, it is to be less and less involved in sin, to pull away from sin. Sin and God don't coincide. Let's just get that. Darkness and light don't mix. His word, God's word, the Bible, is the ultimate truth. And we can find confidence in it, knowing that it is our greatest weapon that we are equipped with as Christians today. This is where General Eisenhower's quote comes in. "There are no victories at discount prices." What do I mean by that? Knowing God's word is crucial for us as Christians. There is a difference between reading God's word and studying God's word. There is a difference. And I encourage everyone here today to become students of God's word, to get into God's word, learn it. Because here's the truth, we cannot have victory in our battles if we don't know the word of God. If we don't know the truth of the word, how can we gain victory in our circumstances? The same way a soldier has to know how to properly wield a sword for maximum effect, we have to know God's word to have maximum effect. One of the best examples that I can point to in Scripture of using God's word as a spiritual sword comes from Jesus' temptations in the desert by Satan. And if you want to turn this morning, we're going to actually read that. If you have your Bible and you want to read along, otherwise I'll read it to you. You can find that in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And I am reading from the English Standard Version, so it might be just a little bit different than the version you have. It says this, Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. What we just saw here is Jesus effectively using the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, against the temptations of Satan. If Jesus had to use the sword, if he was tempted and he had to rely on the sword, how much more important is it for us in our lives today? Does anybody face battles? Anybody face temptations, hardships, struggles? Every hand in here should be responding, right? You don't have to, but I know that we all go through this. Listen, there is no victory to be had at discount prices. What this means is we cannot fake it. We cannot fake our way out of temptation. We cannot fake our way out of whatever situation that we're in. We cannot stand in the battlefield prepared for battle if only we have partial knowledge of God's Word. If we are not consuming God's Word, how can we be equipped? How can we have the armor on so we can step into battle, we can face Satan, and we can say, "Be gone"? And we certainly can't rely on what someone else has told us to believe in the Bible. Now, I will tell you, go read. Make sure what I'm talking about today, what I'm saying up here today, matches with Scripture. If it does, it's a trustworthy word. If it doesn't, tell me to sit down, and I'll let you teach next week. You cannot just take what somebody else says as gospel truth without first getting in the Word and making sure it's gospel truth. We must know God's Word, and we must be confident of its power and effectiveness as we wield it. Just like he did with Jesus, Satan will try to twist God's Word, right? What did he ask Jesus? He said, "If you are the Son of God." Now, if you really are Mike Linder, prove it to me. Do I have to prove anything? No, I mean, maybe I do. If it's a police officer, sure I do. But follow what I'm saying here. Get the point. Who do I have to prove? It is Satan's goal to make every effort to undermine and destroy our confidence in God's Word. Look back to what we just read in Matthew 4. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Then the tempter came. And the first question Satan said was, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to turn into bread." Who's hungry after 40 days and 40 nights? A stone looks mighty tempting, doesn't it? This is why Jesus was tempted in every way. This is why he faced what he faced. Satan uses our weaknesses so he can exploit us and so he can tear down the armor and he can stomp us into the ground. Listen, Satan literally had nothing to offer Jesus. He says, "I will give you all these kingdoms and all their glory if you'll bow down and worship me." Who is Jesus? The creator of the universe. They're already his. Satan was offering something he couldn't fulfill, but if he could have Jesus fail, then the plan of salvation for all man's out the window. But that won't stop Satan from trying. It didn't stop him from trying with Jesus. It's not going to stop him from trying with us. He'd rather confuse us. He'd rather lead us into confusing situations where we will fall to sin. He wants us to be in sin because sin separates us from God the Father. So, how can we properly wield the sword? How can we properly handle the sword of the Spirit? How do we as believers use the sword of the Spirit? The first thing we have to do is we have to understand that the Bible is absolute truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, you can write this down. Write it down. Go study it after service. Make sure I'm doing this right. It says this, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This might be challenging. And if it is, I'm sorry. But if you're sitting here today and you say, and you can't say that you believe that God's word is true, why are we here? If God's word isn't true, then we don't actually have salvation. If God's word isn't true, Christ didn't come to die for us. If God's word isn't true, God didn't make the universe. We can go on and on and on. So today we must hold that God's word is the truth. The only truth. Second, it's to read God's word in context. Who knows that context matters? Yeah? So I'm a texter. I like to text more than I am on the phone. I just think it's quicker, it's simpler, and I can be doing something else while I'm texting, and maybe that's just really bad of me, but I'm a texter. I'd rather text. Who knows that you can read things wrong in the text? I did it to my sister this week. I was being sarcastic. She was having issues with her Apple TV. I didn't ask permission, but you're smiling and laughing, so I'm going to share it. You just made me think of it. She's having problems with her Apple TV, and I'm the Apple tech guru of our household, and so anytime any of my other family has issues, they call me, they text me. She's texting, asking questions. I don't really know what's going on. I wasn't really thinking about it, and I gave her a couple of suggestions. It didn't work, and I said, here, just throw it against the wall, dunk it in a glass of water, see if it works. Like, I don't know. Google it. And then she says, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bother. No, it wasn't that. I just don't know what else to say. And it wasn't intended in a bad way. But without context, without knowing that I'm smiling on the other end sending it, it could come off very harsh. Agreed? I love you. I'm sorry. But without context, it's hard to know what the person intends, right? So context matters. One of the worst ways that we can use the sword is to use it out of context or reading into it our own cultural biases. This is known when we read our own cultural biases into it. This is known as eisegesis. E-I-S-E-G-E-S-I-S. Write that down. Go look it up after church. We actually see this a lot in our culture today. We see this churches that are deviating from what the truth of God's word says to make provisions for this, that, and the other. I'm sorry, it's wrong. Here's what eisegesis looks like. For instance, if you were to read Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, you read, here's what it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay? We know that to be true. But if you don't know the original biblical context, that is called exegesis, E-X-E-G-E-S-I-X, exegesis of this verse. What you see is Paul suffering in prison with a thorn, a weakness that God hasn't removed, won't remove. If you don't understand that, you might interpret it to say, well, I can do all things, so I'm going to go win the Olympics. Who's trying out for the Olympic team tomorrow morning? But that's not at all what the verse says. That's not at all what the verse means. Here's what the exegesis of this verse actually means. It means that we can endure and achieve all things that Christ wants for us as we rely on Him, which is what we saw Paul doing, because there's no victory at discount prices. To properly wield this weapon, we must learn all that we can about it, including the context of Scripture. Third, as I said earlier, we must become students. We must learn all that we can, and we must practice wielding the sword. Anybody in here play an instrument? Stacy, look around, write their names down for worship team. If you've played an instrument, it's gone beyond 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade into your adulthood. How did you get to that point? It took a lot of practice. I don't know if we have any prodigies in here, but I'm pretty sure everybody had to put lots of practice. They had to learn it and how to use it and the sounds that it makes. Listen, we must learn all that we can about Scripture, about God, in order for us to properly wield the sword of the Spirit. 1 Peter 3:15, it says this, "But in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord is holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Scripture tells us we have to be ready at all times. How can you be ready if you aren't in the Word? How can you give an answer for what you believe in if you don't actually know what you believe in? The idea of Christ is more important to you than the truth of Christ. We must study the sword of the Spirit daily. We must read our Bibles. We must look at study commentaries. We must hear sermons preached on the Word. And all of this weighing it against the truth of Scripture. This allows us to gain an understanding of the Word of God. Lastly, we pray for God to reveal Himself through His Word. We won't always have the answers. But when we've accepted God as Savior of our lives, His Holy Spirit reveals His character and His plan for our lives through Scripture. This is the Word of the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit, or the sword of the Spirit. We go back to Hebrews 4:12. It divides soul and spirit. The Word of God is meant to cut out all the garbage so we can be righteous before Him. Christ makes us righteous, but I hope you're following where I'm going here. The sword of the Spirit reveals the things in our life that need to go away. It reveals to us places that we need to submit to His authority in our lives, and it reveals to us places where maybe we need to take a different approach, or we need to reread Scripture because we've interpreted it wrong, and we're living our life in an incorrect way because we haven't properly learned to wield the sword of the Spirit. So by spending time with God in His Word every day, again, when I say spending time with God, we know that there's a difference between reading and studying. Can we all agree to that? If I just read, but I'm not spending time with God, what good comes from it, right? I've read some Scripture, that's great. But if I haven't tried to deepen my relationship with the Lord, how can I ever expect to grow closer to the Lord? You've heard me ask this time and time again. If you're a regular attender, you know this. How are successful relationships built? I heard Rochelle say time. By spending time together. For those of you that are married, would you be married to your spouse today if you had spent zero time with them? I'd like to think that Alicia would say yes, but I don't know. Listen, I make a joke, but seriously, if you don't spend time, how can you expect to grow closer to the Lord? So, I think most of us shook our heads no. I didn't. I'm not doing that, but I saw lots of heads shaking no. That no, I wouldn't be married to my spouse today if I hadn't spent any time with them. So how in the world is it that we can think that coming to church on Sunday is enough? If you come to church once a week and you have never picked up your Bible, you have never asked God to lead you every day in your life, and you just come to church on Sunday, what good is that? I'm not saying it's bad, but what good is it? What if you saw your spouse once a week for an hour, and that's all you had? How good is that relationship? At some point, you have to make that decision to go deeper. At some point, we have to decide it's worth, because relationships require time. Relationships require communication. Communication is a two-way street. So sometimes we have to sit silent before the Lord and let Him speak. And then relationships require love. They require love. And this church, this is how we use the sword of the Spirit. Because at the end of the day, this sword, the Word of God, changes lives. God has the ability to penetrate even the most stubborn of people through His Word. He uses it to cut right to the heart and change lives entirely. Think back to your salvation experience, to the moment that you decided, I'm all in. This is when everything changes. This is the sword. Let me just pick this up for dramatic effect here. Follow along with me, if you will. This is the sword that we fight with. This is the sword. Rather, I should be holding this, right? This is the sword that we fight with. This is the sword that changes lives. We must carry the sword with us every day. Now, do I mean stuff this in your back pocket and carry it with you every day? No. What do I mean by carry it every day? Because I've put it in my heart and I've put it in my mind. And then the Holy Spirit, as things come up, He leads me. He leads me to the points of Scripture that I need to handle the situation that's in front of me, to speak truth to the person that I'm talking with. Because if we yield the sword properly, listen, it will forever change what engaging our community for Jesus looks like. We look bare this morning. I promise we're not small. But I promise when we commit to this, there won't be a seat available in here. I believe that the Word of God has that much power that as long as I have this with me and I speak His truth and His love, people respond. Because Scripture tells us that it cuts down to it and it changes lives. If we go with anything other than the truth, if we go with anything other than the full truth, maybe we don't even take the sword. Maybe we just have good intentions. We just want Him to feel good, but we don't have the sword equipped. Listen, you will not see a victory. You will not experience a victory, because there is no victories with discount prices. So we must equip the sword of the Spirit, because this is how we engage our community for Jesus. If you guys would, I would just ask you to bow your head, close your eyes, just listen to my voice. Don't pay attention to the worship team or anybody around you. I want you to hear this today. There is no salvation without Jesus. There is no way to heaven that does not include Jesus. There is no victory over sin without His sacrifice. He died on the cross. He rose again 3 days later to defeat sin, defeat death, and to reconcile us to God the Father once and for all. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So church, today's the day to step into that victory. Whether this is in a brand new way, you've never asked Jesus to be in your life, or this is in a fresh way, you've made some choices, you've walked away, you've not really focused on your relationship with Him, so it can be in a fresh way. Today, we can ask God to forgive sins through the sacrifice of Jesus. So if you would, if that's your desire this morning, I would just ask, would you just raise your hand, let me see it, and put it back down. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Church, we're going to pray together. And I would just ask that you repeat after me. Now, for the individuals that raised their hand, you need to know this. It has nothing to do with the words that we're saying, but rather the intention of the words that we're saying. So if you mean these words, we're good. If we don't mean these words, it's no different than reading a poem on the sidewalk on a rainy day. It carries about that much relevance. So church, I would ask that you join all together in this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son Jesus, who died for my sins. I know that I'm a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that sin and death have been defeated. I commit myself to you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I'll just let you know, we had three individuals raise their hands for salvation this morning. Here's what I know. This is when Satan wants to come and attack. This is when he wants to come and start confusing that word and saying, who are you? If you really are a Christian, you can listen. Pray the name of Jesus over that situation. Be gone, Satan. So church, here's how I want to close today. There is no victory at discount prices. And I hope that sticks with you the rest of the week, because it has stuck with me. There is no victory at discount prices. We all must equip the sword of the Spirit. We must know how to properly wield our offensive weapon. And when we do so, we gain confidence. There is no spiritual victory when we don't know the truth. So the question I have for us to respond to today, will you stand for biblical truth? Will you stand for the truth of God's Word? I would like each and every one of you to make a decision today, whether or not to make a commitment to know and to hold to the Bible as God's Word, His truth. We're going to close in prayer here in a second, but as the worship team leads us after that prayer, as the worship team leads us in a song, I'm just going to encourage you, make that decision where you are. You don't have to come up to the altar. You can. I would encourage it, but you're going to make a decision. And you and God are going to know that decision. It's not a decision that's just staying with you. That's a decision that you make before God this morning. Make a decision where you are. Make a decision by coming to the altar in worship and prayer. But either way, the question is, will you decide to take up the sword of the Spirit? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this word today. I thank you for the truth and the power that we can gain by knowing your word, by taking up and holding the sword of the Spirit. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us in here today, Lord, that one, we felt your presence. Two, we subscribe and we dedicate ourselves and we commit to your word being the final truth, the only truth, the objective truth. Lord, that all decisions and all things would be based off of your truth. Father, I pray a blessing upon everyone today as they travel, they go about. Lord, we ask that we would all have opportunities this week to wield the sword of the Spirit. That it would make us stronger, that it would encourage us, and that it would give us wisdom. Father, we love you. We thank you.